Welcome to Pearson Podcast. I'm Mike.
And this is Orlando, and we're on episode 396, an update episode.
Yeah, we love our update episodes because this is where we get a chance to talk about the things that are going on in our life in regards to reselling, what's going on in the reselling world in general, and then we get to give you those spicy bolos, the things that you should be on the lookout for when you're at garage sales, thrift stores, estate sales, all the places that you're sourcing so that you can get top dollar on eBay. So check out, stay all the way to the end of the episode. It's going to be full of a lot of great information. So Orlando, how are things going for you?
Well, I'm going to share all of this with a smile. But if you're listening to the podcast, I am smiling, so hopefully you can hear my smile through your headphones. But it's been brutal. It's been brutal. I don't know if it was intended to be that we did a burnout episode last week, like how to avoid burnout, and now I'm burnt out. Like, I don't even know. And I know when I put together the episode, I was thinking about, like, I'm kind of here, like I'm trying to avoid it. But I got to tell you, it's tough when you're putting in the work, you're sourcing, you're listing, and then you don't see the results. And then what ended up happening is I kind of just got tired of it. I was just like, I'm so done listening. Like, why do I have to be answering to the eBay taskmaster like every day? Why do I have to list every day? I just kind of get tired of it. Now, that was a perfect storm because as you caught our live that we previously dropped, I went to an eBay ads event and I was told that my no cap dynamic ad rate was just crazy, that I shouldn't be doing that. I'm losing money. And so I was like, all right, I'll shift it. I'll change it to 5% cap and no more dynamic ad rate. And instantly my sales slowed down. Now, I'm not mad about it because I understand that with eBay, huge moves affects the algorithm. I always tell people, don't do anything crazy. Like sometimes people will say, you know, I have a store of 500 items and I haven't had a lot of sales. I want to start off fresh. So I'm going to end everything and then I'm going to sell similar, you know, little by little. And I've had people tell me that he's done that and it's taken them 2 weeks to actually get one sale. Or I've had people, you know, all the time saying, you know what, I'm just going to I'm going to end all my promoted listings like right now and see what happens. And then things die for a long time. And I believe that's what's happened to me. I'm still going to give it another week or two to see if things will rebound. I think that's the case. But I recommend everyone who listens, like if you ever want to make a major change, do it slowly. Don't make it quick because I think the algorithm needs time to catch up. So sales have been just bad. Like today, we're recording this podcast. It's, you know, 4 PM, whatever it is. And I haven't had a sale today. I have not, no send offer, nothing. So I don't know what's going on. Now, again, I haven't been listing as faithfully as I should. And also, I changed my promoted listings. Along with that, garage sales have been brutal. There's been all these community garage sales, and it's just the same houses. And I'm not the only one that has said this. I posted on Instagram. A bunch of people are saying, yeah, it's weird, Orlando. Like, I've been going to community garage sales, and it's the same houses, but it's not like they're bringing out anything new.
Same houses same houses from, like, last year, from earlier this month,
Same house. So let's say there's an annual garage sale, like annual community garage sale, and you go to a community garage sale, it's the same houses. Like, there aren't new houses on the route. And I'm like, wow, this is weird. This is weird. Like, people just done with garage sales. They don't like doing the work. So it's been kind of rough there because if there's anything that keeps you motivated is when you find those treasures, right? When you have that Saturday morning and you fill up the car and you're like, yes, this is why I love reselling. And I haven't had that. So it's one of those things where I always tell people, like, in the beginning of reselling, like, that dopamine rush is incredible, right? You sell one or two items, you're like, yes. You go 3 months, it's incredible. You go 1 year, it's incredible. You go full time, you're like, look at all the freedom I have. And then there's the lulls, like, right now. And you have to decide, like, am I going to fight through this? And am I going to make it happen? Or am I just going to give up? And I'm not giving up, but I did take a break, and it's hurting me. So I need to get back into things. And the other thing I'm going to say with a smile is, last one not showing, I'm not bothered by anybody that showed up. I think it was great. I love the interaction, but I only made $5 for 40 minutes of work. And actually, when it came down to it, it was like an hour or something. And it still was profitable because the inventory that I sold, I maybe spent like $2 on it. So I guess the fees, I made a buck, right? But I've been looking at the last month or so of whatnot sales. And they've been profitable, but I think about the time I've been spending to prep, the time I've been spending doing the one-out show, the time I've been spending the packing after. And for me, it's just right now, I think I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a break for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, regroup, just, you know, focus on eBay again and see if I want to revisit. I appreciate everybody that has showed up to Whatnot. I intended to do Whatnot for, you know, I don't know, till whenever, every Thursday at 10 a.m., but right now, I'm in a place where I'm like, you know what? I want to see what I could do that Thursday morning as far as eBay goes, because it just hasn't been profitable. So that's my update. Nothing, you know, kind of like, yeah, that's motivating. But I just got to keep it real and let you guys know what's going on with my life. All right. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I get that idea of like burnout, kind of that feeling. But you also have to remember, I think, the grass can always seem greener, you know, on the other side of the fence for pretty much anybody in any job or any field. Because I feel like burnout's one of those things that can kind of hit no matter what you do. Like, you can love your job and whatever it is you're interested in, whatever you do. And then after a certain amount of time doing it, eventually there's parts of it that get monotonous. There's parts of it that get tedious. There's times when you don't feel like you're making the progress you want to make. And I feel like you can chase other things. You can keep jumping from something else to something else. Or you can just adapt where you're at and try and get through those lulls. Because I feel like there's oftentimes ups and downs in anything you do. So I guess the encouragement that comes from this is if you're feeling that burnout, not just you, Orlando, but anybody, is maybe there's excitement if you try something else, try some other side hobby or gig to make some extra money or try another career. But eventually burnout's going to happen with that too.
It's true.
So you just kind of have to realize, like, is this still something that's doable? I mean, you got to kind of place emotions to the side and just look at things logically. And that burnout, when it's compounded with the fact that you don't feel like you're making as much as you could or should be making, that does play a role. And that's part of the, you know, the logic you need to be looking at. But at the same time, sometimes you got to put your emotions to the side and say, no, this is still profitable. This is still something I could be doing and should be doing. And you just kind of push through it and then recognize there's usually going to be an up afterwards, right? You know, do it long enough, things are going to get better. So hang in there. Hang in there to all those people out there feeling a little bit of burnout right now. So my stories. So last Wednesday episode we did, it was a themed episode, so it wasn't an update. And I mentioned I had a kind of a random story I wanted to talk about, so I figured I'll do that now. It's not really a random story, but it's just interesting. So we've talked in the past about eBay removing listings, and I think it happens, right? It does happen where eBay will remove a listing for some reason, like something you know you listed is not there anymore. But I think what happens more often is the issue where you have multiple quantity of something, right? And if something ends up getting sold, returned, and then relisted, it doesn't always add. I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong here, but I don't think, for instance, if I got 10 quantity of something and then I sell one and then I get a return and so I relist it, I don't think it adds back to that quantity, right? It doesn't go from 9 back up to 10. It creates a separate listing, right? Or am I wrong?
Run that by me one more time.
Okay, so let's say I have 10 items. I've got 10 pencils that I'm selling, and they're each one individual item. So there's quantity 10 of these pencils. I sell one of them, so now I have 9, but that person returns it. So it comes back. So when I relist the item, it doesn't automatically add back to quantity 10. It like lists, now I have a listing with 9 pencils, and then now a separate listing with 1 pencil.
If you chose to relist, I wouldn't relist it. I would just go to the quantity and change the quantity.
Okay, Correct. Perfect. Yeah. So that's why I bring that up, is because I had an item that I know for a fact, like I got rid of. I sold a bunch at garage sales or at a swap meet before I moved from San Diego, because I'm like, this is just not moving on eBay. I'm going to unlist them off of eBay. I'm going to sell them here. Whatever doesn't sell, just it was a couple I donated. Anyways, there's a box of some metal figurine toy things, and I just got an eBay notification like 2 weeks ago of one selling, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I know for a fact I unlisted these, so I'm like freaking out. I'm like, this is not good. Like, I'm gonna have to do
when that happens.
So I'm like, I cannot figure this out. Like, how I know I unlisted these. And so I dug through all of my inventory, and I found it, because I knew where I had them and it wasn't in the same totes or the same area. And I found it somewhere else, and I'm like 90% sure what happened was it was something that sold and either was a return or it sold and the person didn't pay. And so I don't know, I had to like cancel the order and relist. And so it was a separate listing instead of me just adding the quantity back. So I think, I think things like that tend to be more often than just eBay removing listings, which I do think happens. But I think a lot of times it's an issue of, you know, the numbers getting messed up when you have multiple quantities of things and stuff getting returned back to you. So I think that's what happened. I was so like, it was the most amazing thing in the world because I only made like $15 on this item. It wasn't a huge sale, but I'm thinking, man, this is going to cost me. I started looking up on eBay if anybody else had some, and somebody had some for like a little bit more and I sold mine for. So I'm like, I'm going to drop ship this thing. Like that's all I can do is I don't want to take the hit on my account for this stupid item that I'm only going to make $15 on. But luckily I was able to find it. Man, that felt good. So there was that.
Can I stop you for a moment?
Yeah, go for it.
So that happens to me a lot with like clothing. So let's say I do retail arbitrage and I pick up like 5 new Attack polos, right? And then what ends up happening is like I'm down to 1, right? And it sells. And so I'm down to 0. So then I'll go hit relist. And when it relists quantity 5. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So that's sometimes what happens. I do think that's operator error. That's happened to me, I want to say at least 10 times. Where I because they returned it, right? They returned it. So I'm like, oh, sweet. I'll just relist it. And instead of checking my quantity, I end up relisting 5. So be careful when you're doing those relisting of multiple quantity items.
Yeah, no, for sure. Next thing. So I'm in Texas and I experienced, and very lightly, it wasn't a big deal for me, but my first tornado, which was pretty weird. So I'm at school. And I'm, you know, teaching at school. Next thing you know, almost sounded like an Amber Alert went off on everybody's phones. I look and it's tornado warning. And then next thing you know, our school went into like shelter in place. All the kids had to go into a separate place. And what kind of got really scary about that, was my family's at home, right? Like I'm trying to take care of my kids, my students, but I've also got my wife and my children home alone. And so I'm worried about them. I'm trying to message them and make sure they're okay, that they know where to go in the house, the safest place in the house. And there was a tornado just a few miles from where we are. So it was a small one. It did a little bit of damage. And I know there's places all throughout the United States right now, Nebraska and other places that have had some really, really big tornadoes. But that was on Friday. And so between that and the storms, I feel like garage sales were just, dead the next day, right? Like nobody's wanting to have a Saturday garage sale when there's already some storms out, and then also a tornado was yesterday. So, but there still were some estate sales, which were nice. So I went to some estate sales, picked up a few things. There were a couple of garage sales, not a lot that was super worthwhile. But while I'm driving to an estate sale, my wife sends me a text message. It's like, oh, there's a garage sale, and it's at a church. Or I'm sorry, not a garage sale. There's a church rummage sale at a church that's not too far from our house. And so I had no idea how I missed it. They must have just did a really, really poor job of like advertising it. But it was like a big mega church. So typically those you could do pretty good in because lots of people are donating. I show up, you know, based off of thinking I'm going to be there a little bit late, but there was nobody in the parking lot. And I had pretty much free reign of the place. There was only like 5 other people in there shopping. And I was able to pick up a handful of things. It definitely had not been picked through, but they're just the quality of stuff that was donated just wasn't there. But I still was able to score pretty good. And so, yeah, it wasn't too bad of a day. Still had the church rummage sale, still had some estate sales and one garage sale, even despite having a tornado the day before. So, man, I tell you, you can still get out there and grind, man. You could still get out there and grind.
I got to tell you, I saw the image of the stuff in Nebraska, and I'm like, like this is unreal. I don't know what those are called, but it looks pretty bad. Let's put it that way. Yeah, so
for sure.
Yeah. And it's, you know what? I don't know. I mean, obviously you get enough warning that people aren't going to do garage sales and you'll end up in the middle of like a tornado doing a garage sale, but just crazy. Well, I guess we don't have, here's the thing. It's funny because I wish we had like highlights. Like I had some nice sales, like but in the end, like this is the day to day. This is how reselling goes. Now, before we move on, I do want to talk about, there's one thing that is even worse than burnout, and it's taxes. And so if you're stressed about your taxes, like you want to get a fresh start, you just did your taxes, And you're like, wow, that was a lot of work. Like having to figure all everything out there, like that was just brutal. And if you want something that's going to help you out, check out my reseller, Genie. Go to our link below and use our code PUREHUSTLE, all caps, and you'll get 15% off the first month. It'll import all your eBay stuff from last year, the year before. Maybe you haven't done your taxes in 2 or 3 years and you're kind of scared and you want to make sure you do the best job possible. Well, my reseller, Genie, will definitely help you. It'll also give you a profit and loss. So just check it out. And they're always updating. Okay, they're always updating. It is a reseller program made by resellers. So check out my reseller, Genie. Go to the link below and use our code PUREHUSTLE. You'll get 15% off the first month. All right. So let me share with you more. So I hate being in my 40s because your vision changes. You haven't experienced this, but you get to the place where you begin having to hold stuff back to read it better. Like, that's where I'm at right now, and I don't like it. And so I sold a One Piece gold foil manga book. And those go, like, they sell for me for about $100 to $180 consistently, one book. It's great. I picked up about 25 of them at a garage sale, and I've probably sold, like, six of them, and I only paid, like, I don't know, $30, $40. It was a killer deal. But the problem is, I don't know how I did this, but I sold volume 18, but I shipped out volume 16.
Oh, no.
And what I'm guessing happened is I looked, and I didn't look it back, and the 16 looked like an 18. That's what I'm thinking happened. I sound really old school when I say this, but it's what happened. So I shipped it out. And it's the worst when I get, you know, I don't mind if I get a return request for something that's sold for like $20, $30. But whenever it's over $100, especially when it's a collectible, I don't like it because I don't want a book that I sold for over $100 to be shipped back, right? Because there's more chances of it getting ruined. Well, you know, the buyer was awesome. They let me know. They're like, hey, by the way, I ordered 18. I got 16. And I messaged them. I'm like, hey, here's a 20% off coupon. I'm sorry that that happened. What we can do is you can ship it back to me. And as soon as I get it, I will ship out the right volume. And I'm going to give you $15 refund on top of that because of my error. I just, you know, I go above and beyond. Maybe I didn't have to do the 15, but I don't want negative feedback. Like the fact that eBay right now is so brutal about that stuff. And by the way, at the eBay ads event, they told me feedback matters. So I don't care what the eBay for Business podcast tells you. I don't care what some random rep. When they overall tell you that feedback does matter in the algorithm, that's what I'm going to go with. So they shipped it back. And this is what I don't like about eBay that Amazon does really well. So on Amazon, let's say you ship out something and it's broken. Let's say it doesn't work. You have an option with Amazon where you can just say, replace the item and ship out a new one. On eBay, you can't do that. On eBay, you have to either do the full refund, right? Or when you ship back the item, you have to call eBay and tell them, hey, by the way, I'm sending a replacement. I need to, you know, I can't give them a full refund. You know, I'm just giving you guys a heads up. And so I called eBay. And they said, well, we can't even do that right now. Why don't you call us the day that tracking shows up and we'll give them back the $15. Well, it was the final day that you had to refund the person. Things came up, got busy with the kids. I look at my phone and it's 10:19 Pacific Standard Time, which means eBay is no longer open for business for you to call them. They close at 10 o'clock. So I'm stuck now. I promised them a $15 return. But not only that, I have to refund them because I didn't call eBay to let them know that I had shipped out the right book and the tracking was there. So what do I have left to do? Well, I have to, because eBay needs to fix this. I had to report the buyer. They didn't do anything wrong. Then I had to choose 50% refund. So I couldn't do more. So I had to refund them. The book was $120. I had to refund them $60. I couldn't do the 15. And the reason I had to do that is because if I don't do that, eBay dings you in your metrics if you don't refund them. So I refunded them the $60. I didn't give them back their shipping. And so instead of being out $15, I was out $64 and some change. So I call eBay the next day and they're like, I'm sorry, we can't do anything about it. Now, they did work with me. They did give me a $25 credit that I can use for anything on eBay, like shipping supplies or whatever. But here's a lesson to everyone. If you ever get in that scenario, number one, you could not be nice like Orlando and not offer a $15 for the error, because I already gave them a 20% coupon. You could also just do the full refund and then have them repurchase and then send it out and then refund them the 15. Those are your only options. And I had spoken to eBay. I said, you guys should really just have an option that, like, if you want to replace an item, you could just replace it. But they said, no, we like them to send it back and you do a full refund and they repurchase. So I'm sure there's something there that has to do with, like, maybe eBay loses money in the transaction. I don't know what it is, but I lost $60. So the person got the book for $60. But guess what? The bright side of all this, I got my first picture review where they said, awesome packaging, love the item, and they actually uploaded pictures. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of eBay. I may be the first person that's ever happened to. But just letting everyone know, it cost me $60 to get a picture review. And there you go. So there's sunshine at the end of the rainbow there.
Yeah, $60, get a cool story. That's the that's what sunshine.
There you go. All right. Anyways, any random stories on your end?
Yeah, so when I was at the garage sale, I saw a I couldn't find anything that was really, or not a garage sale, I was at the estate sale. I couldn't find anything that was super valuable, okay. But as I'm about ready to leave, I see on a table, you know, like the Shriners or the Masonic lodges, the ones that, like, you know, do like the, it's like a, you know, fraternity club for older guys, and they wear like the big Pez hats. The big red hats, yeah. So I see
at our parades here, they drive little tricycles.
Yeah,
at
the little or the little motorized go kart things, right? Yeah. So I see some, and it's half off day. So I'm on a Saturday at the last day of the estate sale. Everything's half off, and they have these hats listed for $34 each. So that means I'm going to be picking them up for, you know, $16, whatever, $18, and the value just was almost there, right? Like, some of these hats were selling for like 50, 40, but they were kind of big. And so I'm like, you know, it's like, I might make $20 total on these hats when all is said and done. Plus, they're already like embroidered with like specific places because, you know, different lodges have different like titles and numbers and all of that. So, but I'm interested because there's a bunch of different hats, some different style ones. So I'm looking them up, doing a little bit of history lesson, and I find one like underneath another hat, and it was like a red beret, and it had probably, I want to say it's close to 40. I think the number was 37, is either 37 or 38, somewhere like that, pins on it. And these different pins were like for different places. They had different like little logo things, but it's all part of this Masonic Lodge, like the whatever the group was, and the specific pins were for a group within that group called the Royal Order of the Jesters. I used Google Lens to look up the image.
Oh, I love and Google Lens.
And then I'm looking up other ones, and I'm seeing that come up a lot because they have a phrase. I think it's something like "Mirth is King." So I saw a bunch of the pins said "Mirth" on it. There were a bunch of pins that had like most of them had this like little jester figure. So this guy was part of that. Part of the organization, and my wife and I looked it up because we were just trying to figure it out, and it's like an elite group within the group. Like, only 13 people every year are like admitted into the Royal Order of the Jesters. And the whole point of that is like they're people who are more just like they want to have fun, they're more lighthearted. And one of the funny things that we read while we were looking it up was, if you ever ask to join the Royal Order of the Jesters, you'll never be able to get in. It automatically disqualifies you. So you have to be invited into that like sub secret society within the secret society. But this thing had like I said, there's like 37, 38 pins, something like that on there. And I'm like, I think there's money here, right? Like, the hat itself, I'm going to end up paying $34 half off. So I'm going to be paying $16, whatever, $17. But I think there's money in these pins. So I'm looking up the pins, and sure enough, some of the pins are selling for $10. Some of them selling for $5. A handful of them are selling for like $15 to $20. So I didn't look up every pin while I was there, but I'm like, I'm going to be able to buy this one beret just full of these pins. Now, normally when you go to places like this, you go to an estate sale, garage sale, people will remove all of the pins. They've got them all laid out and you're paying per pin. Maybe they might say like, you know, $2 for $5 or whatever they're charging for them. But these were all part of the hat still. And so I'm not going to sell the hat, but I'm going to sell all of these pins. I think what I'm like ultimately going to do with these is I'm going to pick out the ones that are the most valuable to list individually, and then I'm going to lot the rest together. So there's probably like 5 to 10 that are like actually profitable. Like I could sell for about $20 each or so. And then the rest of them, I'm probably just going to lot together and sell for one price. But it's kind of cool just because I got to do a little bit of learning, because I don't know a lot about the different, you know, Lions Club or the Rotary Club or the Masonic Lodges. And I know there's differences, and but learning a little bit about this Royal Order of the Jesters was kind of cool to just kind of see like what it is that these people are about and what they do. And then that it's such a specialized group, but kind of like other things where there's like locations, like, you know, when you get Harley shirts and it's like Harley San Diego, Harley Las Vegas, it was kind of like that. So as they go to the different lodges, they collect the pins, or if there's big events, like if they have a big party, you can get a pin if you're part of that group. And so they become rare and valuable because of that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I usually pass on those just because, yeah, the hats themselves on their own. But yeah, it sounds like you got something really rare. And that's the thing. And again, it didn't cost you much. Right. So you can, you know, you sell a couple and you're good to go. And that's, you know, always with long tail, like I would not buy long tail unless I knew I could make my profit quick. And then you just hold on to the rest. So, all right. Now, I don't have any other random stories outside of the money I lost. Let's get into our reseller topics. We got some interesting ones to talk about today.
All right. Let me get that up. I feel like, is it just me or is the screen getting a little glitchy on you too? Has it gone black?
You know, it's glitchy on you. It's weird, but not glitching on me.
Okay.
Yeah, you're glitching.
I'm
so
glitching.
So weird.
Weird. Sorry. Sorry about that, everyone who's watching. I appreciate you putting up with
Well, earlier on, I think I was glitching, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah, we need to hardwire our internet in. We're still doing that over the air stuff, the Wi-Fi, and it's just not quite as good. But here we go. Our reseller topics. eBay stats, eBay ads, turning a profit on secondhand clothing is tough, and sourcing 99 cent stores and social media. All this and more on Reseller News.
So the other day, I was looking at, I don't know what I was looking at, but I came across these stats, and I thought, you know, it's a good reminder to look at the stats on eBay just to give people a point of reference. You know, when I went to the eBay ads event, I had mentioned to them that, you know, it's kind of interesting that you guys do events for us, because the reality is secondary sellers only make up 20% of eBay. Like, there's still a lot of room for secondary sellers. Now, it all depends on the items you're trying to sell. And so I was looking at these stats, and I just want to share some of these stats. There's no like narrative here. There's no story here. But I found some of this kind of fascinating. And so, you know, the one that we always talk about is, well, we not a lot, but the mobile device, when people buy a mobile, continues to go up. Now it's like 60%. I remember at one time it was like 40%, it was 50%. Now it's at 60%, which is interesting because, you know, the eBay wants it to be mobile friendly, but I feel like with the new AI descriptions, it's not mobile friendly. So I thought that was cool. I thought, let me throw another one in here. So eBay seller stats. Okay, 80% of products sold on eBay are new. And 88% come under the buy it now scheme. Buy it now are products that customers can buy immediately rather than having to bid for. That leaves 12% of items sold via auction. And so obviously this is very different from what eBay used to be. But again, if you're new and you're listening to this, auction is very rare, right? The reason people do auctions is twofold. One, it's they have something valuable and they think that, you know, if they buy it now, they're limiting the price and they just want to let it run and they know they're going to win. And sometimes eBay are trying to offload stuff. And it's interesting. I watched a Commonwealth Picker video the other day, and he talked about how he has never seen as much auctions before as there are now comparison to, you know, the early days. And a lot of people are saying that that's because people are now just trying to get sales going, right? Because with an auction, your chances of selling something are higher if you started low. Kind of like, you know, if you go on whatnot, you're going to sell your items. So be aware of that. You know, if you want to move items, auction sale place. I would say if there's only 12% of items being sold via auctions, there is room for you. Let's see here, some other stats here. 940,000 eBay sellers advertise their products listings as promoted listings. This promotion used in over 250 million listings. So to me, that tells me if you are not doing promoted listings, you're kind of putting yourself at a disadvantage. Now, I'm not, again, I don't get paid by eBay. I'm not telling this is what eBay told me to do. I'm not programmed. There's no earpiece from eBay in my ear. What I'm letting you know is, you know, a lot of people are very anti-promoted listings. And I understand, like, who wants to give more money to eBay? You know, who wants to deal with eBay? But if you're in a saturated market, okay, if you're in a market where, you know, it's very competitive, understand that doing a promoted listing is going to give you an upper hand, especially if it's only 940,000 of eBay sellers, when the reality there's 18 million sellers on the platform. Like, that's not very many, right? That's not even 10% of eBay sellers using a promoted listing. So I thought that was kind of fascinating. And then buying statistics, okay? You can stop me at any time here, Mike. So one of the things I did not like hearing at the eBay ads event was you should do free shipping. Free shipping helps you in the algorithm. And they told me this because, you know, when people are looking for stuff to buy, majority of people instantly click on the free shipping. And if that happens, your listing never gets seen by anybody. Mm-hmm. Right. And so here on the stats, it verified this. It said 71% of eBay purchases come with free shipping. So that's a pretty big deal. Now, if you're doing, I don't know, I got so used to charging shipping that I don't know if I could ever go to free shipping, especially with the rising cost of things. But I don't know, maybe it's something that, you know, it's still out there. I know one of the things,
I mean, we've talked a thousand times about, you know, building in the potential cost of shipping into the item and doing free shipping. In addition to that, though, you can also consider if that's true, if people are selecting that as like a filter when they're searching things. Like, for instance, when you're buying things on Amazon, like, you can search just to see things that are Prime, right? So that way you're not seeing things that aren't Prime. So if there's a significant number of buyers who are doing that and not simply choosing the item that's free shipping, if they see two options that are similarly priced, they pick the one that's free shipping. But if they're actually filtering out items that aren't free shipping, then that might even change some of the way that we pick our prices in the first place. Because when you're looking at comps and you're trying to make sure you're competitive and you're only looking then at the items that are free shipping, you could potentially raise your prices. Because if the lowest priced items are items that don't have free shipping, you don't even have to really consider those if it's true that most people are using that as a filter. Now, I don't know if most people are, right? Because I think even how many sellers don't always use filters when they're trying to, like, look up comps. So what's the chances that buyers are using all of the filters too? But it is possible. So I'd like to know. I mean, it might be worth checking out. Like, maybe higher price items with free shipping sell not just because of the psychological impact of somebody seeing free, but that does make sense. If somebody is selecting free shipping as like a filter option when they're searching, then yeah, non-free shipping items won't even come up in their search at all.
Yeah, so just something to think about. I will say with clothing, it makes more sense. Obviously, with big bulkier items, like, free shipping is pretty brutal. Like, you know, I just sold a Dyson, a bladeless fan, and tons of people had free shipping. And I sold at the same price as those people, but I charged shipping. And so I can only imagine, like, my shipping cost me, it was only going to Oregon, and it cost me about $30. Imagine if you had free shipping and it was the same price, like, you know, and your cost was high, like, you're not going to make a lot of profit. So just something to think about. I thought those stats were kind of interesting when I was looking at that. And, you know, again, eBay is still overall in the stats. You know, I'm not going to go into the big numbers, but it basically is like eBay is still king. Like, if you want to sell anywhere, eBay is a place to sell. All right, let's go to our next one, because I think our last one is going to be, I don't know, controversial, but it's going to be an interesting conversation. So this one I found, this is from the BBC, and their title, this came out in March, they said the trendy secondhand clothing market is huge and so growing, yet nobody is turning a profit. And I never thought about that. The fact that, you know, yes, secondary clothing may be going up as far as like more people buying, but if there's more people selling, that doesn't mean that's more profitable for everybody. That just means there's more people buying. And I remember when I posted this on social media, everybody's like, no, not me. Like, I'm turning a profit. And, you know, a bunch of people said that. And I agree. There's a lot of people killing it. But it made sense to me. It said, let me read here. It says, online retailers have been packing up and shipping out secondhand clothes for years, focusing on growth over the bottom line, taking on large capital investments, and in some cases going public. Despite this commitment, profits aren't rolling in, even for the biggest players in the space. So they talked about, you know, the RealReal. They talk about ThredUp, how they haven't posted positive growth, right? And again, the big idea that they talk about in this article is just supply and demand. This is a co-founder and director of a foundation that looks into this, says there's an oversupply of clothes. It's lowering the perceived value and the real value of everything, right? And we can talk about this a lot because even in the vintage space, like, you know, vintage t-shirts that would sell for $300 or $400 are now selling for like $100, $200. And I'm saying there isn't money to be sold and there isn't money to be made in clothing. You just got to be aware that if there's ever a time for fast nickel, it's right now. I think the people that are making money, like K-Way Shop when he was on our show, they're selling en masse. Like, they're selling tons of clothing items every single day, where before it could be like, hey, you could sell two or three for $300 a piece and you're like golden for the day. And I don't think that is the case anymore.
Yeah, I mean, one of the ways I think about it is we mentioned that resellers are kind of a necessary, healthy component of the economy that kind of helps balance out prices, in that if a retailer is selling their items undervalued, if the demand is higher than the price they have locked in at, you know, a place like Walmart and Target isn't fluctuating their prices based off of demand as quickly as resellers can, then resellers work as a mechanism within the economy to help balance out that demand versus the supply. However, the same thing goes the other direction too, is now if the supply is much bigger and the demand hasn't grown, resellers might be overpriced. And so it's going to be the people again who are now moving the other direction of like, okay, so instead of buying super, super low and from like a retail store and selling it high on eBay, there are people who are getting their stuff even cheaper. And then instead of trying to make top dollar, they're, like you said, going that fast nickel route, which, again, it stinks if you're the reseller. And if you're the reseller that's typically used to being able to get top dollar on items, yeah, that sucks. But then looking at it more broadly as an economy, that's just, it's the opposite side of the coin, right? In the same way we could say like, hey, resellers are just trying to help, you know, balance out, you know, when the demand is high and the prices were low. It's the flip side of that too, is we can be affected in the exact same way that stores are, in that we might be the ones priced too high, and so then we get undercut. So it kind of goes both directions and it sinks. But yeah, you have to recognize sometimes fast nickel is what you have to do in order to stay competitive.
I think that's where we're at. I mean, we had a whole episode about deflation in reselling. Right. So you got deflation and right now we have stagnation. Right. The reality is inflation wasn't transitory. Inflation that has not stopped. And so prices keep going up for our livelihood. Right. For my groceries, for my gas, whatever it is. But the items that I'm selling for cheaper. Right. So you just got to be careful out there. You got to be careful. I will say this is I find that the people that are doing really well on Whatnot, It's two reasons. One, it's either they're getting their items for super cheap. They're going to the bins. You know, they're picking up stuff for pennies on the dollar, and it doesn't matter to them. Or you end up having people on Whatnot that are doing consignment, right? So to them, you know, they end up making their money in the fact that they don't have to go source. They don't have to look for the items. The items is being brought to them. So just be aware of that. Be careful with that because, you know, again, the easiest place to enter in reselling is clothing, because there's so much, right? Any thrift store you can go to, garage sale, flea market, wherever you want, you can find clothing. But at the same time, it is the most competitive. And right now, I don't think there is a model that works for clothing unless it is fast nickel. the only counter to that would be if you find super rare, like vintage shirts, vintage jeans. But even then, the market has definitely gone down. The market has gone down all across the board, whatever you sell, whatever you sell. All right, so this next one. So this is more from social media, and I was kind of I was intrigued by this because, you know, we had that bad review last week. I had the one that came after me, and it's funny on our Discord. People were saying, I don't think it's that they didn't like you, Orlando. I think it's just people don't like capitalism. And I was like, you know what? I think there's some truth to that. So one of our good friends of the podcast, Retro Vintage Fool on Instagram, he had posted about how the 99 cent stores are closing. I don't know if you knew this, Mike, but 99 cent stores are going out of business across the country.
Which is and super so he, sad. Super, super sad for me because, man, as a teenager, as like a high schooler, just got my driver's license, that was one of the places I would stop on the regular because the 99 cent store was the place that I could, you know, I can get anything I wanted for a dollar. They had them a lot where I was at, more of those, I think, than even Dollar Trees. And I thought they had a lot better stuff at the 99 cent store than Dollar Trees. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, I grew up going to the 99 cent store. Like the 99 cent store was like my place. Now, as I've gotten older, I've gone there a lot less, but man, seeing them close, it's definitely sad for sure.
So I, you know, to me, I don't know when 99 cent store stopped being the 99 cent store like a decade ago for me. Like they started having $3 items, $5 items, $10 items, at least here in San Diego. But, you know, resellers are obviously going to see what they're going to liquidate, what they can pick up, you know, what they can resell. But then Retro Vintage Fool on Instagram, you know, posted a reel about like, hey, are any resellers finding any good things in the 99 cent store? And he got a 910 likes, but he also got 300 plus comments, and he got hate for this. Like, hey, all he did is just show an innocent video of people at the 99 cent store and asking, not people, but just even, just it was just video of the 99 cent store asking, is anybody sourcing? And here, I just want to share these comments. I want to get your thoughts because I already gave my thoughts last week on people that speak negative about resellers. So, you know, here's one. Imagine getting a job instead of scalping lower income areas. Or here's another one. Nice job. You took valuable resources from low-income families and instead brought it and sold it when you probably don't need to. People are saying resellers aren't bad because corporations do it too. Like corporations aren't also run by the worst people we know. If I were president, I would make cruel and unusual punishment legal just for resellers and scalpers and maybe landlords. Oh my goodness, just get a job. Yeah, it's called a job application. Corporations do it too. And does that mean it's okay that corporations do it? Just because some people commit murder doesn't mean you should too. Are we basing our morals off of billionaires now? I'm like, what? Why? People, when they realize dollar stores are indeed resellers themselves. Anyways, let me see another one here. More hate. Okay. I'm trying to read the more ones that we can share on the podcast. But then there are some people that supported it. Some people are saying, do you realize the dollar store are resellers too? Do you realize that they're buying on the low and they're selling for high? Anyways, I'm just looking at this, at all these 300 comments, and I would say probably 75% of these were just hate. So what are your thoughts on this, Mike?
Yeah, it's not surprising. It's not surprising that people have those views. And the hard part, too, is it's not just... It really comes down to worldview, right? Like, it's just conflicting worldviews, and I think there's a lot more at stake that it's not even just about somebody buying stuff that's at clearance at a 99 cent store and selling it online that they're lashing out at, right? Like, they have a different worldview, their different value system than the people who are doing that are buying and selling. And so, yeah, you can't – I feel like it's just such a deeper issue that goes beyond just a conversation that can happen on a comment on an Instagram. But, yeah, I'm not surprised at all that people think that what we do is terrible. And then, yeah, we would often use the argument of like, well, this is just normal business. But that argument isn't going to work for people who are just fundamentally against the idea of any kind of capitalism or any type of business at all. It's you're you're talking two different languages at that point. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised that people get upset with that. Again, I think it comes down to they're making a moral claim about something we're doing that's not a moral issue, right? But if we want to try and address it on that level, I mean, then it becomes a completely different conversation, a little bit probably too deep than we're ready to have on the podcast right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, okay, but what, okay, let's get to the tip of the iceberg, okay? We don't need to get into all that. But what you know, we talk about moral, we talk about whatever it is. What is worse, the person that is out there working a 9-to-5 for like barely minimum wage, unable to take care of their family, or the person that figured out how to resell and they're able to take care of their family and they're able to provide more for their families?
But see, here, this is what I mean, though, is why I'm saying we're speaking two different languages. Is if you make that argument to probably most of the people making those comments in the Instagram, their response is going to be, well, a person working 9-to-5 is, they shouldn't, you know, they should be making way more too. They shouldn't be in that situation. They should, you know, there shouldn't be businesses. All the money should be distributed equally. So again, you can't make those arguments. Like, those are logical arguments for us, right? Like, we would use those arguments and we're speaking the same language about it and say, like, yeah, like it's no different. I found a way to make money. If I'm a painter and I'm painting someone's houses, I need to make sure my prices are right, but I'm providing enough service and those things add up. And then the quality of the work that I'm putting out versus the money I'm bringing in for it. It's the same thing with reselling. I'm putting out a certain amount of work, a certain amount of knowledge and expertise. I'm getting money in return. It's just an exchange of services, exchange of money. So yes, like that makes total sense. There really is no difference in what you're doing. As long as you're doing it ethically, you're not going and stealing from Walmart and then reselling the items. You know, that's a different issue. But at the same time, again, if you try to tell that to somebody, and again, their point would go beyond just simply, I'm willing to bet the people making those comments, they don't have any positive about capitalism. So you're right. Like, it comes down to that idea of, it's not just resellers they hate, but it's really any aspect of capitalism. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised there's just so many people who have those views.
It's crazy to me in a first world country that we have those views, in the sense that there is so much abundance here. Like, 99-cent store is closed. There's the Dollar General. There's the Dollar Tree. You can go on OfferUp. You can go on, like, you can go to Aldi for girls. You can, like, there's so many different options. And I think, again, it's people unwilling to see the abundance that we live in, how much it is. And you're right. Like, the biggest thing is, like, again, is it going to land that, you know, who, it's weird because, okay, I see where you're going, that this might get too much. Because in the end, right, in order to have equality from everyone, you have to steal from others. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? And resellers are doing legitimate jobs. Like, I think about Reezy Resells, and I think of other people that came out of poverty for reselling, right? So, yeah, it is a mindset of not understanding that, hey, you know, this opportunity is there for you. You're just choosing not to take it. Instead, you're hoping that somebody's going to come along and give you a handout. So, yeah.
Well, anyways, and the hard part, too, is they always conflate, right? It's like the idea of somebody going and buying things at a garage sale and a thrift store, or going at a clearance sale and buying items and selling that on eBay. And then they throw that in with, and scalpers, right? And they, like, they're just, it's a false dichotomy. It's like they're putting these two things together and saying, it's like, it's either this or this. Either you don't do any reselling at all, or you are automatically the worst of the worst type of reselling. Like, there's no nuance there. They don't understand that there's different types of reselling. There's different ways that people do it. And it's not all people, you know, using bots to artificially inflate a market so that they can buy all the items and sell it, and they're the ones creating the demand, and they're the, you know, there is that aspect of things where we could look at and say, like, okay, that was shady of places and companies to do. And yeah, again, we can make the argument and say, like, well, those companies do the same thing. Like, Nintendo or other companies, they intentionally release sometimes limited supplies of things in order to drive up the demand and to create marketing. But again, when you have that conversation with somebody who's just like diametrically opposed to any kind of free market system, any logical argument that we make is going to fall on deaf ears, because again, we're speaking different languages. You kind of got to go, you got to go more basic and get more down to fundamental issues with that.
I think you're right. You are right. So
thank you.
Which I don't say that much on the podcast. I always go with the you might be right, but no, you are right. I looked at the comments. It's like, you know, you should die. Like, you guys are the worst. Like, it was just over. Hey. And I'm just like, this is America, right? Like, this isn't, I don't know. We're not, like, this isn't, you know, an Eastern European bloc country in the 80s. Anyways, well,
It is weird, though, to think, as a reseller, there's people that hate you that much. Like, there's people willing to say, like, I'd be willing to allow cruel and unusual punishment for people who resell on eBay, is basically what they're saying. So it is a little scary to think, like, because I feel like we openly tell people, yeah, I'm a reseller, and a lot of people are interested. But to think that there are some people who will hear that, and they will have a hatred to the level of, like, I hope physical harm comes to you. Yeah, like, that's pretty just, wild.
That is pretty wild. Like, the top recently influencers have to hire private security or something.
Well, and there's things, you know? Like, just think about that with anything else. Like, imagine any other, there's jobs and careers and fields that I feel like are slimy, and that I feel are, like, immodest or bad, or like I look at it and I think, like, this is immoral. I don't think this is a good type of job. And I think that, you know, I wish the world didn't operate the way it operates, but I can't imagine, like, telling somebody who makes money in a way that I disagree with, unless it's, like, criminal, right? Again, it's a conflating, like, a reseller to someone who's, like, a drug dealer who's, like, shooting people up, right? Like, there's certain, like, of course, that I would say, like, yeah, I think those people need to be in prison. But there's, like I said, there's other jobs that I can look at and say, like, yeah, I think that's a bad choice. Like, I wouldn't be happy if my kid got into that field, but I'm not going to look at those people and say, like, I hope physical harm comes to you because you chose this job path. Like, that's wild.
So anyways, if you want to go check out Retro Vintageful on Instagram and see those comments.
Yeah, maybe share some love with him so he's not just hitting negative comments there.
Yeah, I posted for us on there, and you know, some people reacted, some people liked it, and others didn't, you know. So all right. Hey, before we move on, you know, if you have not yet had the opportunity to say, hey, Piers the Podcast, we want to support you guys, we want to help you guys out, there is a Patreon for us. It's patreon.com/Piers the Podcast, and it is only $5.55 a month, less than the price of pretty much anything you could buy at a fast food restaurant. You know, I'm gonna give you my sob story. So in college, you know, the one thing I loved eating for breakfast, my roommates and I would get up and we're like, let's go get a steak and eat egg and cheese bagel from McDonald's. You know how much those are now? It's like $8 for one. For one. Okay, I think back in college in the early 2000s, I think I paid like maybe three at the most. It's crazy. So for the less than the cost of a McDonald's breakfast item, you can help support Puroso Podcast. So check us out. The bonus to that is you get to jump on the Discord. I love the Discord. A lot of great comments, a lot of great feedback, encouragement, information, you name it. Great place to be. And as always, we are Puroso Cast on all social media. We are Puroso Podcast on all social media. Show us some love on Facebook. We're trying to do more on Facebook. So if you haven't jumped over to Facebook, you know, follow us there. I know a lot of people are like, Facebook, what is that? Like, there's a big community in Facebook. And also, if you haven't yet, we are Puroso Cast on Twitter. And you can always leave us a call, 619-738-1170. That's 619-738-1170. Or shoot us an email at purosopodcast@gmail.com. If you haven't yet, smash that like button here, subscribe. Hit that bell notification. And thank you to all of you that leave us iTunes reviews. We greatly appreciate it. All right. Let's talk about some things to keep an eye out for.
Yeah. Bolo. 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 Bolo.
What's your bolo?
All right. What is your bolo? My bolo is kind of going back to what I mentioned with those pens for the Royal Order of the Jesters. Is just collectible pens. You know, a lot of times you see pens and when I say pens, I mean like the ones that you would like put on clothing or like on a lanyard, not like writing utensil pens. But there's probably bolos and writing utensils too. But I mean, a lot of these things, pens, shirts, anything that you can get that has a location on it. Now, of course, there's a difference between the mass produced stuff that's just in any tourist shop, you know, that says Florida or San Diego. But if it's a specific niche of thing, going back to that idea of Harley, right? There's coins that you can get that are Harley coins that you go to certain locations, you get a coin for it. Or there's certain events. And the same thing with, you know, even the Royal Order of the Jesters from the Masonic Lodge is there are lots of different organizations that kind of have collectible pins that people can get when they travel. And one of the reasons these can be valuable is or even mugs. Like I have mugs, Starbucks mugs. They're collectible for different places you go to. The reason why these become very valuable, one, some people want to complete a collection or get more of them that, you know, they just, well, I'll never go to this place, so I want to buy it. But sometimes people lose them, right? Like sometimes, man, I went to Hawaii and I got the Hawaii coin for Harley, or I got the Harley Masonic Lodge pin for my hat, or not Harley, the Hawaii one, and yeah. I lost it, it got broken, something happened. And those aren't always easily replaced. And so they can be slow movers for sure. Disneyland's another one. They have those collectible pins that you can get at Disneyland. A lot of people trade
Super
them.
Super Bowl.
Yep, Super Bowl.
Those go for good money too.
All of those can be very valuable. So just pay attention to things that are specifically collectible and based off of location or event. So if it's like got a year, got an event, not all are going to be profitable. But a lot of times it's like a yearbook, right? You got to find the right person that's looking for that item. Mm-hmm. But it's... for that person, if you're the only one that has that item, they're willing to pay for it for sure.
Yeah. So I got to tell you, I sold a bunch of Super Bowl pins. I remember when I picked them up, it was a bunch of like somebody who was a Super Bowl organizer and they had like, I don't know, like 30 pins. And some of them I sold like for $50 to $80. So let me keep it out. All right. My bolo is, did I mention Build-A-Bear yet on this podcast?
So. Maybe, but I don't remember.
So when we think of Build-A-Bear, we think of like generic like bears and so on. But the reality is there's a lot of specific ones. So I just sold, I'm going to say it wrong, an Ahsoka Build-A-Bear character from Star Wars for $65. And I paid like $3 for it. If you find like Hello Kitty or if you find other Star Wars ones or DC or Marvel or whatever, like you find, like if it says Build-A-Bear, if there's a tag on it, there are people that collect some of them. And, you know, obviously the generic ones are harder to sell, but if you find character specific ones, like there's some that go for over $100. So definitely keep out for Build-A-Bear. I never thought I would say Build-A-Bear is a bolo, but it's at least a bolo. If you're going to a garage sale and you see plush and you see a Build-A-Bear tag, it may be worth looking up because it could be worth a good money. I've sold probably a few hundred worth in this past 2 years of Build-A-Bear, which I never thought would it be able to sell. Because I just think of, like, they're so personalized, like, who would want to buy them? But they've gone into the route of, like, having special collections. And so keep an eye out for Build-A-Bear.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, I can't believe it. We're approaching the end here. So what are you looking forward to here?
So I'm still probably a couple weeks out from it, but... you know, hopefully I try really hard with the audio in here. I'm not in a controlled studio, so I have like an air conditioner and I got a fan blowing on me, and the air conditioner doesn't do a good job because it's basically a stand-up unit in a garage, and so it's terrible. So I'm hoping to get a mini split put out here in the garage. It's going to be a little bit of work for me to install it, but it makes such a... I was much more successful in reselling when the weather was not hot and humid here. Because I would go out to the garage, I'd list, I would sort, you know, go sort my items. I would, it was not a big deal if an item sold, I'd go out and find it. Now that it's getting hot and miserable out here, I don't like to be out here as much. And that puts a big damper on my reselling. So just making my reselling area more comfortable. And that was something we talked about in our previous episode, is having, you know, a separate space for reselling, having a comfortable space for reselling can help prevent burnout. I'm literally burning up here, right? So I want to prevent burnout. Sorry. By getting a nice mini split put in. So it's going to be expensive. It's going to be a bit of a cost. But again, it's a tax write off. It's a business expense. So I will do it. What about you? What are you looking forward to?
It's the same old, same old. I'm looking at my notes here and I'm like, do I have anything new? And the reality is I don't. I just got to get sales up. I just got to list more. I got to, you know, I got a bunch of stuff I don't have listed that I just need to list. And again, it goes to the lesson two of, don't pick up stuff you don't want to list. Now, to be fair, a lot of the stuff I don't have listed, I'm looking at some of my inventory right now, is because they're part of huge hauls that I had. And so I was told, you know, hey, we'll sell you this for this price, but you need to take all of it, right? So that all of it, like some of it is worth money and I kind of have a hard time doing away with it. Others I don't. You know, it felt really nice the other day was I had a bunch of silver plated, like old, like, you know, those ornate, like a butler, like trays or... Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, like trays, like this thing right here, like this ornate salt and pepper shaker, yeah. Like that silver plated stuff like that. And I got rid of it. Like I looked it up. I made sure it wasn't super valuable, but it was like, I maybe would have made $20 or $30 on it. And I was just like, I don't care. And so I just got it all. I went to the Goodwill and I dropped it off and let them deal with it. And it felt kind of nice. So I probably need to do some of that some more. Because again, I keep saying, like, you got to be careful as a reseller. You can become a hoarder before you know it, and you're walking around all your inventory, and I don't want that for anyone. So I got to redo all that. I'm looking forward to getting rid of stuff. I'm looking forward to redoing my eBay space. And again, I'm like Moby Dick looking for the great white whale to hunt down. I want to go to a garage sale and I want to pack out the car. It's so much so that, like, all I'm doing is like listing my garage sale haul. I haven't had that in a while. So hoping by the next update that I'll have a story like that to share. So that's pretty much it. So, hey, thank you everyone that tuned in. Hopefully, you got something from this podcast, or at least you were entertained or had some background noise. Appreciate all the support. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe, hit that like button, and, click on that bell notification, and appreciate every single one of you. And with that being said, make sure to be real,
be relevant,
and be reselling.
Peace.